They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Subpar Subprimes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Some experts are tying the crisis in subprime lending to the apparent abuse of a financial innovation. That innovation is called securitization. It's the packaging of mortgage loans into saleable securities. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli explains how securitization might have fed the subprime lending spree that's now unraveling in bad loans and corporate collapse.
Securitization greatly expands available credit, but it also offloads risk. Loan originators no longer hold the consequences of reckless lending. Investors believe that bundling risky loans makes them safer. Put the two together, and the folks making the money are all looking the other way. Atlanta CPA Kevin Byers analyzes such transactions. He says securitization helped and hurt the wrong people.
To the extent that that money is available in abundance for loans with looser underwriting guidelines, essentially giving borrowers enough rope to hang themselves with, or, for that matter, giving people that are out to commit fraud the liquidity to do so, in the end, it's going to hurt the legitimate borrowers.
So does Byers think securitization may have triggered some subprime abuses?
It funded it, so you can follow the money. And in my business, that's how we get to our answers.
Some investors, of course, will be hurt, and regulators who've been warned will have egg on their faces. But the bigger worry now is that all this will spill into the wider economy. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Asian markets closed mixed this morning. In Tokyo, the Nikkei slid 113 points. Stocks in Europe are also mixed right now. But on Wall Street, investors ended the day yesterday in a positive zone. Falling oil prices and mergers helped investors shrug off subprime jitters. The Dow climbed 42 points to 12,318. The NASDAQ added 14 points. It's at 2402. The S&P inched up 3 points to 1406. Speaking of oil, it's moving higher today. Right now, crude is at $59.45. A senior British official has defended his decision to drop a multi-million-dollar corruption inquiry involving Saudi Arabia. In his first public interview, Robert Wardell, head of Britain's Serious Fraud Office, says he stopped the investigation because it was upsetting a key ally in the war on terror. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Britain's Serious Fraud Office had been investigating claims that the UK's largest defence contractor, BAE, had bribed members of the Saudi royal family. It was alleged the bribes were paid in the 1980s to secure a multi-billion dollar defence order. In an interview with the BBC, the head of the Serious Fraud Office, Robert Wardell, said he scrapped the investigation because it was harming Anglo-Saudi intelligence cooperation.
That harm would be reflected in a lack of cooperation, so I was told, that would seriously damage national security. It was going to cause serious harm with our relations with Saudi Arabia.
But critics of the decision say there was no evidence the Saudis would have ended intelligence sharing because of the probe. The Saudis had, however, threatened to cancel a new defense deal with Britain worth more than $20 billion. Later this week, Britain may learn whether, by dropping the investigation, it broke an international anti-corruption agreement. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
President Bush is ending his tour of Latin America with a visit to Mexico today. A common theme for the president during his trip has been immigration. Many Latin American leaders have been pushing for changes in the guest worker program. Yesterday, a report by the Southern Poverty Law Center explored a part of the program keying on certain shortcomings. Christy Gronke is an attorney with the center's Immigration Justice Project. She thinks the whole idea of guest workers may be problematic.
It tends to commodify people in terms of the labor that they provide. And it brings them here on a very short-term basis, ask for extraordinary contributions on their part, and then ask that they leave.
The report found the guest worker program has chronic, shameful abuses.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with 4 top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals, DukeExecutiveMBA.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
The International Home and Housewares Show wraps up in Chicago today. More than 60,000 buyers and sellers of household gadgets and appliances will get a chance to see what stores will have on their shelves in the next 6 months. The housewares industry is worth over $300 billion globally. The show awards design students who have the best ideas. Reporter Yolanda Perdomo has more.
More than 200 industrial design students from around the U.S. and Canada submitted their prototypes to the International Housewares Association. Six winners were chosen. Rob Swinton, a 23-year-old senior from the Cleveland Institute of Art, tied for first place with his reinvention of the spray paint can, where the paint comes in bags.
It uses disposable plastic bags. Instead of disposing an entire steel can, you dispose of the plastic bags and they're empty. And it uses CO2, which is refillable and is better to breathe in, so you could use it inside your home with a less hazard, with less ventilation than with regular spray paint.
His twin brother Matt Swinden was the person Rob tied with. Each got a cash prize of $2,400. Matt is reinventing the wheel. The garden hose wheel, to be exact. His design makes the hose retractable and easy to use. He says designing items for everyday use may not seem glamorous, but it's fascinating just the same.
I'm a better thinker than I am, you know, a stylist. I think I spend a lot more time trying to figure out how to do things better, do things differently. And I think that's, for me, that's what's more interesting about design is, you know, how you change how people think. I like changing things up and making things work better.
Joey Nakayama is a senior industrial designer for Herbst Lazar Bell and a judge for the competition. He says redesigning ordinary items is about making people more comfortable with everything from a basket to a broom.
For products that are very utilitarian, like most housewares products are, if you can just make something a little bit easier, a little bit nicer for someone to use, just look a little bit better wherever it is, then that will have some sort of emotional resonance.
Even if the prototypes aren't picked up by companies to be mass-produced, the expo gets the students noticed by other designers and companies who will hire them for their innovative ideas. In Chicago, I'm Yolanda Perdomo for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.